Welcome, everyone, to Business Growth on Purpose. My name is Jose Palomino. I'm CEO of Value Prop Interactive, and it is my great pleasure every week to be interviewing experts from around the world, owners of other B2B businesses, and sometimes just sharing some of my personal insights from decades of helping businesses grow on purpose. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. This is Jose Palomino with another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. And today's guest is Sebastian Schicke. And Sebastian is based in Frankfurt, Germany, but he serves a clientele around the world, mentoring CEOs in building their team, their own ability and building their team's abilities to be high performance organizations. So we're going to dig into what it takes to build a high performance organization, how to build up people, and how to give hope to people through tough times in your companies. So listen closely as Sebastian joins us right now. Welcome, Sebastian, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Hi, Jose, how are you doing?
Very good, very good. So thank you. Thankfully, the time difference wasn't so great. You're in Frankfurt, Germany. I'm in the Philadelphia area. So that's one of the greatest things in this one of the few like really good things that came out of the last 2 years. There's a lot of things that weren't so great, but was just how easy and fluid we are now internationally. And these technologies like Zoom and GoToMeeting, they've existed, but now there's been wide acceptance because we had no choice. So that's great. Yeah. So thank you for being with us here. And Sebastian, for our audience, if you could just give us a little context in terms of what you do mostly and who do you mostly do it for?
Sure. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur for 25 years now. I run a treasury consulting business for 22 years. Now I'm focusing on two things. I'm a business angel investor where I invest primarily in tech startups. And I'm also mentor to tech CEOs. So I help fast growing tech CEOs manage their company, become resilient leaders. And with my team, we also help to build high performance team within the companies.
Well, wow. So clearly those things, especially since the tech world, I mean, it's no secret here. It's probably typically you would think of the industries that are the fastest moving, fastest changing industries would be tech. So clearly that, but the principles are kind of universal, right? Like aligning resources, getting the right people, driving high performance. So I love the fact that you mentor CEOs. So let me start with a little bit of a tricky question, which is CEOs tend to be, by and large, pretty self-confident and pretty hard-charging people. So how do you get into a mentoring relationship with somebody who may feel they have all the answers already?
Yeah, I mean, you're completely right. I mean, most of them, they're very high D. I mean, I use DISC model and they're very, very high D, so very driven and fast-paced. But you got to have to build trust, you know, and you have to really get into a conversation with them. And in the end, especially from the tech world, I mean, they have two primary goals. You know, either they want to be the biggest company in their space, yeah, become the next Zuckerberg, you know, dominate the space, or they just want to make a lot of money, you know. Yeah, just simple as it is,
simple,
you know.
Simple model, right?
Simple as it is, yeah. And but of course, they have challenges like any other growing business, you know. They are fast growing companies. So they might not have the processes in place to support this fast growth. They might hire lots of people, but hey, you need to build a performing team. Yeah, you need to put the right people at the right place. So when you have a fast-paced growth, then of course, you might end up not putting the people in the right position. Yeah, and then you generate challenges. And many of these entrepreneurs, they feel it personally because they work so many hours. Yeah, they work day and night in their business. And I always say to them, hey, I mean, if you don't work on the business, then you have a job. You're not an entrepreneur. Huh? So we're going to need to be able, in the end, ultimately, we're going to need to be able to fire ourselves from the business. You know, we need to build an organization which runs without us. Without us always interfering and doing work and being involved in any decision, and this is where we get into conversation, and then they realize, yes, this is actually right. You know, I don't want to be the bottleneck of my business because everything depends on me. So I want to basically distance myself. I want to step back and see it more the proto picture. And this is where we get in. This is where, when they understand and then they start working with us and trusting us, and then we start this journey.
Wow. So the beginning of the journey is kind of a moment of humility, right? Which for people who maybe aren't as familiar with humility as a concept, but they have to kind of acknowledge, hey, that maybe the business might do better if it isn't me at the hub of every wheel, right? I can't always be the center of the universe. But there is a sense, especially for somebody creating something. Like, so I'm not, let's distinguish between a true startup entrepreneur that has a great idea and they bring it to market. They raise a few million bucks, they're ready to go, versus somebody running, let's say, a 20-year-old, 30-year-old business that's been around for a while, has grown incrementally. So now it's a $20 million company. That startup person, so much is riding on their success. And they just know their stuff more than the people that even work for them, right? So is that a problem if they tell you, the fact is, I know more than my people? Would you tell them maybe you need different people? I'm just curious how you would start kind of coaching them through that journey.
Yeah, when I had them hiring people, I always encourage them, hire people who are more intelligent than you. Hire people who know more, because you don't want to be the one who's making all decisions, who knows everything, You pay people to know this job better, And of course, initially, and I've been there, I also founded a company. I run it. I was the operator and then the manager. Yeah. And I had a fantastic growth. Yeah. But I wasn't happy, I wasn't happy because everything depended on me. Until a point where my business, basically the market changed and I had some really challenging years. And then I realized I made a mistake in this growth time, because the company grew, but I didn't grow as an entrepreneur, when do you grow? When you have pressure, when you have challenges. Otherwise, everything is easy and you don't really have to put lots of emphasis in development. So I started my development journey and basically developed the skills an entrepreneur needs. And this story I tell my customers, and this opens their eyes, and they say, okay, also I know everything. No, I don't want to be in the position later on that maybe I'm not interested anymore. Maybe I lost patience, but anything depends on me, And if I step out, the whole business is collapsed.
Well, that's the big risk, right? You can't even afford it, especially, we've all become a lot more aware in the last 2 years about the idea of like sick days. The fact that you could be, perfectly fine on Friday, on a Monday, you can't even get out of bed, right? That happened all over the world, right?
So it really opened our eyes. Yes.
Yeah, you were a lot more vulnerable, right? In a small company to even not just me, but maybe some of my key executives and so on. Yeah. Same idea. So how do we pass that down? So let's talk a little bit about resources, right? So this is true whether it's a startup company trying to staff up for the first time, or it's an established business that can't seem to get to the next level, right? So maybe I don't have all the right people on the bus. Maybe I need to skill up some people. Mm. Maybe I need to get some people off the bus.
Reshuffle the seats,
Or reshuffle the seats, right. Yeah. But for a lot of people who've had a long-term staff, like they've had people on the company for 5-10 years, that sense of loyalty is very strong. And it's not that's a good human
characteristic. I just wanted to say, you probably, you are in the US. What's happening at Twitter right at this moment,
Right.
In 2 hours from now, people will receive an email where they've been told they're either in the company or they're out, And this is, I think it's cruel, the way they handle it.
It's a rough way to do it, no doubt, So my question is, as you mentor a CEO that has some tough decisions to make, how do you help them maybe make those decisions? So some of them maybe are very unpleasant to them. Like they just say, but, Gladys has been with me since the beginning, but she is not capable to be my bookkeeper or my controller going forward.
First of all, we look at the skills of the people. Yeah. So we can run assessments where we really, it's like an MRI, you know, you can really look into the brain of a person. And maybe a simple example. Yeah. You have an executive assistant. Yeah. And an executive assistant in a fast paced company, they need to handle uncertainty. They need to handle an fast growing and fast changing environment. When you have a person who needs a lot of stability in their life, especially in their job, and we can measure this, you know, then this might be not the right position for this person because they cannot handle all these big changes. So maybe this person would be better off in a different position, maybe in an administrative role where there is stability, you know, where she doesn't have to deal with all these different decisions which need to be made or changing all these challenges. So we look at their behaviors. We look at three things. We look at their behavioral tendencies. So how do they behave? Are they more task-based, people-focused, fast or slow-paced? We look at their motivators. So what is motivating them? And we look at their thinking patterns, because every decision we take is based on our thinking and it goes through different filters. And then we can really identify, is this person in the right position? So either we try to find, either we upskill this person, so give them training, support, or we try to find a different role within the organization. Or of course, if nothing is possible, nothing works, then you might have to think about kind of an exit strategy.
I've even seen, Sebastian, small companies, you know, stateside, where an owner says, okay, this person is not part of my future. But it doesn't mean you have to necessarily be cruel about it. I've had mentors that say, look, you let somebody know that they should start looking for another position, and you give them a couple of months, and because you want to be kind to them and not necessarily just kick them out onto the street. So you don't always have that luxury, but I think there are ways to do things humanely and still firmly for the good of the organization.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's a business, right? So it has to work. But as you rightly said, I don't want to work with people who are cruel, you know, who behave their employees like machines. Yeah. So you have to have a strategy. You have to have a process, giving them enough notice, supporting them in their transition. And then it's most of the time fine. Yeah. And also supporting the executive. Here again, we have different thinking patterns, and there are people with a lot of empathy and very strong people focus. For them, it's really hard to make these decisions. It's hard for me. I had to let people go in my career, and I was carrying the sword around for days or weeks, you know, and it made me miserable. Yeah.
Right.
And then I had to take a decision. Okay. And then I felt better. And then you have people who are not so focused on this point, and they don't care, you know, and they just let people go, like what we see right now. So really understanding the thinking patterns and the thinking behaviors of the executives helps us and them to understand why they behave in a certain way. And then you can give them support both ways. You know, you can tell them, okay, show a bit more empathy, because this has been your employee. They did a lot for you, and you should treat them in the right way. Or maybe helping them to distance themselves a bit and more focusing on the business reason behind this decision.
And, you know, the other thing too, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, Sebastian, the reality is you should do right by people, because it's good in life to do right by people, right? So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
But the other really hard business reality is the people who stay behind see how you exited people. And it affects, it's not just affecting the person you exited, but it's affecting the people who stay behind and how they think about the company, how they think about you. So it, you know, a little kindness goes a long way.
And it
pays dividends all the way across. So Sebastian, I just wanted to shift a little bit here, because it's a statement you use, and it gets often used, right? We want to move towards high performance. We want to coach for high performance. So here's the fundamental question. One is high performance something that's innate in a certain kind of person? Does it always have to be a high D person, for example, to perform well? And is high performance something you can create a culture and a support to you know, to lift up people's performance, to make them high performers?
Yeah. To answer your first question, it's not depending on their DISC style. Yeah. I mean, everyone can perform in their capacity and they can perform high in their capacity. And high performance not only means that the employees and the team are producing immense output. No, high performance also means you build a high performance team, you build an environment where they can thrive. So it's your job as a leader, you know, to enable them to be high performant. Your job as a leader to empower them to make decisions, to build an environment where they can really perform and thrive and deliver an output. Yeah. So there are more ways than just the individual team member. It's the leader who takes a stake on this, who contributes to a high performance. It's putting the people in the right position that they can really utilize their strengths and not only suffer on their weaknesses, and also to have a mission, you know, something people go towards. So you as a leader, you have to go in front, and you have to really create this vision around your team that they really want to go in the same direction as you go as a entrepreneur and executive.
So, which is really interesting, right? So much then of creating a high performance team is creating the high performance environment for that team. And because it's so easy to just say, well, if only I could change the players on my board to better pieces. But if you haven't changed the environment, you could change the entire staff and still get the same results.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. So is that a particularly hard conversation with leaders, do you find, in your experience as a coach, as a mentor, that they think they've built a high performance environment, but in fact you observe and you say, well, not so much?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, of course, I prefer to work with people who really understood what it means, yeah, who really want to support their team. And luckily, most of our clients, they come from this side. You know, they say, okay, I want to support my team members. I want to help them to create more value, help them to enjoy their work better, so that they create more results for the company. And this is of course a great starting point. So we identify strengths and weaknesses. We also help the leader to even level up, to go to the next level and be a better, even more better leader for their team. And then of course you have the leaders who come to us and say, you know, my team is not performing. Do something, fix it.
Fix my team, right?
Fix my team, yeah. And then of course it's a process, you know, I had clients where I said, sorry, I mean, I don't think we are a right fit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because even after we explaining to you quite intensively what it means and what you have to bring to the game, if they don't accept this and if they're not open for change, then sorry, I'm not a magician. So then I have to say, I'm sorry, we are not the right fit. Most of them are very open and they go in the same direction.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, once somebody's reaching out to you or, you know, somebody who can do what you do, they are probably self-aware that there's some gaps there that they need, that they haven't filled yet. So they're yeah, maybe a little bit more open to that. So I love this topic of leadership. And you did identify that a lot of the leaders you end up with have a certain way of being, but if you could, looking out over the next year or two, and you don't have a crystal ball, nobody does, right? But 2023, 2024 are going to be pretty, it seems like going to be pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. As a leader, what one or two attributes should I really work on as a leader to take my organization through what might be some rocky waters? some tough times. Like what would be something that I should, I got to work on that. I got to be good at that to lead my organization through the storm.
I mean, honestly, the most important thing in my opinion is confidence, you know, having confidence and showing confidence to your team. And because many of people around us, they're scared, you know, they're frightened. They don't know what's happening. They see all this bad news. And when you watch the news nowadays, I mean, we don't have to talk about it. It's only trauma and only fear. Yeah. And we leaders, we executives, we CEOs, we have to be confident. We have to give this confidence to our teams and tell them, okay, hey, even if things happening outside, which we cannot control, but we focus on the things we can control and we will make the best out of it. And we will get there. You know, we will reach the promised land. And this is one of the most important skills they need. Yeah? Everything else is just tactics we can learn and we can teach. But the confidence is something they need to bring and they need to build in themselves.
Wow, I could definitely see that being like the number one. And the CEOs I've known who've made it through the last 2 years, had that sense of hope, and they knew how to instill it without it sounding like they were delusional. Like, you know, like
Of course. I mean, it has to be real, you know. I mean, we shouldn't only tell fairy tales here, but still, I mean, when you're confident, you can achieve so much, you know, even in this murky times we are all in. Huh?
Wow. Wow. Well, Sebastian Shika, this has been a fantastic time talking about one of my favorite topics around leadership. If somebody listening wanted to know more about you and your work, where should they go to find out more?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I really enjoyed the conversation with you, I'll say. If you want to check me out, I mean, of course, we have a website. It's sebastianshike.com. This is S-C-H-I-E-K-E. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I guess you will put the links in the show notes so people can just click on it and then connect with me.
Absolutely. Sebastian, thank you again for stopping by Business Growth on Purpose. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.